Well, church, today is Celebration Sunday where we announce our total commitment number. You just want me to start with that? No, you have to wait a little bit. You have to wait. I guarantee that you stick around for the whole message if I wait a little while before we announce the number. But if you're new with us, what an interesting time to be new with us. We are completing a chapter, not a book. It's a chapter we're finishing today, not the book. We're completing a chapter of Immeasurably More, a capital campaign to raise money towards our next home as a church. We are leasers, renters, as it speaks today. That will end February 1st, 2027. So we got to go somewhere, do something. So we were led to do this campaign as our first step. And today we celebrate the commitments of a lot of you as a church. And we announce the number, and we'll get to that. It won't be too long. But I think as we begin today, I don't think it's ever more important than today, because God's building something here. I don't mean a structure. I mean a people, a church. He's up to something, and there's so many beautiful signs of that. So I think it's important for us to remind ourselves and maybe our guests today of who we are as a church. Who are we? We are a gospel,
center,
forever,
wellness,
multi-ethnic. All right, you gotta go all in on that. If you're new with us, you'll catch on. We do it a lot, so nobody's on the outside of that. Last week, I started the message just with some thoughts about the election, and I was telling a pastor friend how we were talking. He's across the country talking about how what he said. I was telling him what I said, and he said, "Man, I could never do that in our church. It just wouldn't fly. I could never talk politics." And I corrected him. I said, I told him what I said. I said, where in that? There was no politics in that. Let me reiterate what I said last week. What I said was, you don't have to agree, but you have to care. You have to care where your fellow people are in your community are coming from. And there's conversations that are taking place that are just so powerful, that are private between people that see the world very differently and finding that it's not just a line, that there actually is enough of Jesus to be common ground and to make us the family that he called us to be. You know, I don't know if you're historical and think about the pioneers, that kind of person that would get on a boat and try to come to a new land. I think it's pretty cool to do something that's never been done. We're not doing it because it's cool. We're doing it because it's the heart of God. But this multi-ethnic church thing, we have, 250 years almost as a country? We're the first generation trying to desegregate the Church of Jesus in America. So not just around elections and politics, but around all kinds of issues. It's not easy, but it's worth it. And we're the first, right? The Kids of Relentless Church, right? There's a ton of them. I just checked in on them back there. The Kids of Relentless Church, they're not gonna have to go through this for the first time. They're gonna be second, third generation multi-ethnic church folks. Most of you have never been a part of a multi-ethnic church before Relentless Church, and we're having to figure some things out and desegregate, and that starts with conversation and caring and hurting and being led by the Spirit, and I'm super encouraged about what God's doing among us. I always want new people here. I love it. It's our lifeblood, untold, unconvinced, but there was a couple here for the very first time last week, and I thought, oh no, Commitment Sunday. So, yeah, I did my thing, and I just happened to kick at the guy. I don't know if you know this, but when we're up here preaching, like, your face matters. Like, sometimes there's some encouraging faces, and this guy was a nodder, right, which was like, he was with me. And so I just grabbed him afterwards. I said, hey, you helped me preach today. Thank you. And I didn't know, because I don't know. I said, how long have you been coming? He said, this is our first Sunday. I was like, oh, wow, welcome. Well, it's a little Commitment Sunday, blah, blah, blah. And his wife shared, she said, you know, I've been to church a lot of my life, and I really appreciate what you said at the beginning because I feel like I never fit into the box of the church I'm in. She's like, you know, I believe in the Bible, I believe this, I believe that. I always felt like I didn't fit in the boxes, and I said, you know, we use that language around here that we don't fit in anybody's boxes of what we do, and the way we get to every position we have is the same way through Scripture. So we like to say we are a church where people fit here that don't fit maybe anywhere else. So maybe there's a bunch of misfits in the house. If that's you, you're at the right church. Misfits and proud of it. And today, church, as the misfits we are, we have to do something that honestly we're not great at it. The reason I don't think we're great at it as a church is because I'm not great at it. It's a celebration Sunday. We want to do two things today. We want to celebrate. We want to dream. All right. I used to be a really good dreamer. I blame it on the pandemic. It just squeezed that out of me. It was just survive. We weren't dreaming. We were like, let's just do another online service. Oh my goodness. Right. And just get through it. Well, today we're going to dream about what we're celebrating and what that means for our future. And we're going to celebrate who God is, because he's a God of celebration. You know, we've been talking about money and all these scriptures. John referenced them earlier for these 6 weeks, and it's been beautiful. But just to tell you a lot about the heart of God, that he would require, right? Things are different now, and you should be thankful. But Israelites, Old Testament, he required an offering in order that there'd be money to have this feast. So it'd be like passing the plates. Some of you grew up in the pass the plates days, right? Passing the plates, everybody give. You've required to give this percentage of your money so that we can all buy this food and have this huge party. Why? Because that's really important to God, that we're a people that know how to celebrate, because he's living, he's active, he's working, he's done so much in these 6 weeks, and he's blessed us. I went probably 4 months ago, I went to our elders when we decided to do this campaign, and it's a lot of work, and there's a lot of key positions. It's called the campaign team. And our elders' response initially was, we'll do whatever you need us to do, but ask other people first, because this is a real opportunity for some folks at Relentless that have not ever, you know, really led anything to have an opportunity. Let's give other people a chance to get the joy and the blessing of leading something. And there was so much wisdom in that in hindsight, because the people on our campaign team are not new to Relentless, but a lot of them are new to leading anything at Relentless, and they've done such an incredible job. I want to honor them, make sure you know who they are. I'm going to show them to you. The campaign director, the one who made it all go, Takesha Dockery Raglan, and her. Her many nicknames. We'll just stick with her real name today. She's got a lot of nicknames around here. But now here's the deal. There's a whole team. You clap for her. So if you don't clap for somebody else, it's going to hurt their feelings, because a lot of them are in this room. Next, her right-hand man was our admin assistant, Christian Keller. He kept us on track. And Travis and Bonnie Braswell directed our event. Raff and Betsy John Lane. If you were invited to something, it was them or their team. Chuck and Deshar Milligan. Misty Gonzalez, all the print, the promotion, the logo, all that looks so beautiful and on time. And perhaps the most important, our prayer directors, Joy, Bay, and Ashley. And also, the home fellowship's really key to this. So several of you opened up your home so people could come and hear more about this. That was awesome. It was just a beautiful thing. And let me say this, as we learned so much from the campaign that we take after today, of making space for people that are gifted and qualified to do things that help the mission of Jesus at Relentless, to make space for them to lead. So we've got a lot of volunteers. You've already experienced some of them today as you came in. I hope somebody was really nice to you in the parking lot and at the door. If you have kids, somebody is, I guarantee you, somebody's with your kids right now taking care of them and teaching them about Jesus. So I'll say this about our volunteers. They love what they're doing. Like if we said, hey, you can't do that anymore, they would be brokenhearted. They love serving Jesus through the church, and they don't want anybody to replace them. But they would be excited about somebody coming along and saying, hey, can I help you with that? Right? So if you're new to us and you're into what's happening at Relentless, and you really appreciate somebody at the door, you appreciate somebody taking care of kids or whatever, maybe you say, hey, you need some help? Maybe instead of doing that every single week, maybe you could do it 2 weeks and sit for 2 weeks and I could help you out, you know? So that's the kind of church that we want to be. So we got a lot of awesome volunteers. We have an incredible campaign team. We have an incredible church. But we're in a process of handing off and helping some people that are newer or maybe just not as plugged in, helping make space for you to help serve in a lot of, in little ways, in weekly ways, but also in some big ways. So the altogetherness, you know, John hit on that. He said he was more excited about how many people gave than the total number. I should agree with that. I guess I do. I'm excited about both numbers. So a month ago, 2 months ago, we told you we don't have a number goal, and that really frustrated some of you, but it was the right move for us. So we're celebrating today regardless, because we're celebrating because people trusted God with what society says is the most sacred, valuable thing, and they've trusted God with that. So it does not matter if your number was in your mind small or big. You're a part of this number that we're about to put on the screen, all right? It doesn't matter. Now, if you didn't make a commitment, you still can. We're going to be gaining commitments through this whole deal, but based on how this went first service, I think we got to go the old youth group drum roll style. All right, so if you guys give me a drum roll on your laps with enthusiasm. All right, our totally measurably more, give me that number. 1,999,756 bucks. And probably more important is that bottom number, 104 giving. That's not 104 people, you understand? That's 104 giving units. That probably represents 200 to 300 different people when you talk families and kids. And we have some young people that are in that 104 that said, I want to do my own commitment away from my family. And those numbers are so beautiful to get us that total number. Now, I'm a numbers guy, I'm a numbers geek, and I'm never going to complain about that number. But you tell me, you couldn't find $244? It's in the pillowcase? Joking. Let me give you a little context. Because we're not going to say we don't have a number and then give you a number and say we killed it, right? That's a beautiful number. I thank you. Here's the context. We knew going in kind of what's normal, right? Russ Pretty, who's in the house, say hello to Russ. He's been our campaign director, consultant, and he knows, you know, it's 2 to 3 times your annual giving is what you normally raise, which would get us to about 1.2 or so would have been on that. So we got a lot of data to know where we should be as a church. And we were having the conversation about should we have a goal or not. And I said, is it normal for churches to have a goal? He said about 80-90% of churches don't have a goal number. And I'm like, really? Why not? And he said, honestly, because most pastors are scared of having a number and then not hitting it. And I was like, oh, pastors. Well, I don't want to. And then we just started talking about numbers. And he said, well, the numbers, you know, 1.25 million, would that scare you, right? Which I'm like, are you challenging my manhood? Like, I ain't scared of no number. I said, no, it ain't scared me. He said, does 1.5 million scare you? I was like, I ain't scared. It ain't no number in the world. I ain't scared, right? I said, what are we going to do? Just keep naming numbers until I admit that I'm scared? I was like, I don't know. I've never done this before. I don't know. And all those prayers came, like, let's not have a number. Let's just listen to God and do what he says. So that number represents so much faith. So if you had the conversation in your family and asked God and did what he says, whatever your number is between you and him. I know I've seen the list of people that gave. I've seen who made a commitment. I have no idea what you gave, right? That's not mine to know. I don't need to know that. I just know God did immeasurably more in that number. We exceeded whatever technical, practical, logical comparison expectations that we had. That is a number that allows us to go forward and be ready for whatever God's going to do. We just don't know what's going to become available, land, renovation, whatever, but that number is going to speak loudly to a bank that we need to get money from, to do whatever, and just to be ready. So it's accomplish the goal, all built on Ephesians 3. Now to him, who's able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. That's not just with the number, that's going forward now. He's able to do immeasurably more then we ask him as far as what kind of facility and where and when and how, like he's going to come through. And more importantly than where we meet in lives, immeasurably more in changing lives and creating fully devoted followers of Jesus. So today we celebrate, just looking back, those people I put on the screen, there has been a magnificent amount, both quality and quantity of work to make this campaign and go well. So if they look a little, there's a little bags under eyes of a few of our people, it's because they're celebrating today the completion of a lot of hard work to get us to this point. Now they're gonna give God all the glory, as they should. But he's changing our church through the campaign. We don't go back to where we were. We don't wanna go back to who we were before the campaign, because the strategy of this campaign has really taught us, like when it's very specific, do this on, and having a plan Like, that's how we want to live going forward. Why? Because the gospel's worth it, right? The organization around the kingdom. Some of you are anti-organization. I don't understand. If something's really important to you, if you're doing an event or if you're about something, you put extra time and effort to make sure, right? We can't control everything we want to control. But if we're trying to get the gospel to people that don't know Jesus, it's a pretty big deal. Let's be organized. Let's be strategic in how we reach the people that God has called us to reach. So we're going to learn a lot from what he's taught us in this and how we just live and function as a church in the day-to-day and reach the people, the untold and unconvinced, that he's called us to do. And he's grown our faith. I'm not going to tell the stories. We're going to hold those. I think some people in this room are going to tell the stories from stage in the coming months and years of how God just so happened, or out of nowhere. Like, out of nowhere, literally, money was dropped in people's accounts. It's like just only God kind of stories. And you may be sitting there thinking, my account's gone down in the last 6 weeks. Like, what happened? Like, where? How did I miss out here? Right? I would say, did you make a commitment? You know, here's what I would say, seriously. God reacts to our faith. He just does. He has to. He's promised to. He reacts to our faith, our financial faith, our relational faith, every kind of faith, he reacts to it. So we celebrate the faith that is built into that number. And I don't have a clue of all the stories, the conversations. John talked about wrestling with God through his number a little bit. If you wrestled, I'm really excited about what God's about to do in your life and the life of our church. And we look ahead today. We don't just look back at what he's taught us. We look ahead and we dream about whatever we're going to get, buy, build, or renovate, and how that can be a blessing to people that don't know Jesus today. There's somebody right now sitting at their house, loving Sunday morning, doing nothing, getting ready to eat and watch football, has no idea why they exist on this earth, have no idea that they're loved, and we can prove it through Jesus, don't have a purpose, they're just existing, and if today was their last day, they'd be fine with that, because they just don't have any reason to keep living. One of those, many of those people are going to be introduced to Jesus through the ministry of Relentless Church. And one day we're going to have a facility that welcomes them, that welcomes their family, that reaches out to them, that maybe meets a need that they have in whatever area of their life. That building is going to allow us to be all of that to so many people. We're going to change eternity through the ministry that God's going to allow us to have. And here's, yeah, go on. I need you today. I need you. Here's what's going to happen, because this is how people are. People are going to, on those days, people are so, like, when you have no hope or purpose, and then you find hope and purpose, like, it's amazing. It's like, wow, this, I didn't know. Like, this isn't pretend. This isn't religion. This is actually a relationship. Like, he knows, like, he can come into my finances. Like, he's that specific and that intent. Like, he's real. He loves me like that. And they're going to come to me and they're going to say, Pastor, just thank you. Just thank you for doing all this. I didn't do all of this. Right? And I will deflect to 104 people that made a commitment for people that's so selfless, for people they'd never met, that they might meet the same Jesus that they know. And then they're going to go to thank those people, and they're going to say, no, don't thank me. You need to thank the God who's able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine. According to what? According to our campaign team, according to our elders, according to our staff? No, according to his power that is at work within us. Can we sit here for a second and talk about the power that we're talking about, the power that we built this campaign, the power we're building this church on, the power we're building our lives on, this slogan, listen to God, do what he says. Is that a campaign slogan or is that a lifestyle for us, right? If that dies today at the end of the campaign, then we blew it, right? If you listen to God and did what he says on your number, great. How about listen to God and do what he says in every area of your life, of making that a lifestyle, not a list. That's what we're about. That's the only way I can explain 5 people in our church choosing to leave family and job to go across down to South America to serve in Honduras, like our 5 are doing right now. I hope you saw some of our posts as far as asking for prayer. They've had some trouble with Sarah, not Sarah, wife of Alex, but Sarah, the tropical storm. They flew in Thursday morning, and Sarah came a few hours behind them and has been pounding the area with rain. They've had no power and no running water until last night. A lot of the plans for the trip have been changed because they can't get where they need to get safely because of roads and bridges and issues, and really there's several of them in this room. It's the families of these missionaries that have had a harder time than the actual. I've talked to them several times, and they wanted me to tell you they're good, their spirits are good, and they wanted me to tell you they're eating really well, right? So I don't know how you eat well without a microwave, but they say it's possible. Fresh papaya, yeah. So they're eating well. They're gonna watch this service later today. So hi, Honduras group, if you're watching, we love you. Thank you for going and for serving Jesus and being his hands and his feet. They're not going to get to go to the orphanage. Our prayer at this point is that they would make their flight on Wednesday. The airport is closed, but hopefully it's going to be opening. And then there's some complications in getting from where they are to the airport. There's routes. It's just not the normal route. So they're going to get there. We're going to pray them home, and we're going to celebrate with them next week. You're going to hear from some of them next Sunday. You don't want to miss that. But let me talk about that guy in the bottom left for a second, because I want to make an announcement today about Raf Gonzalez and his upcoming sabbatical. Some of you know about that. I don't think we've said anything about that from stage. So this is a key value for us as a church, to rest. And I know that's hard for some of you, but the way we say it is, in our culture, if you don't work, we call that lazy. Well, if you don't rest, God calls that disobedient. Right, so we don't want to be disobedient. So we believe in rest as a biblical value, and a value at Relentless Church. And it goes back to the scripture. The reason we can rest is because we know it's according to his power that is at work within us. If we can go back to that verse, because they're all looking at me funny. They're looking at y'all too? There we go. According to his power that is at work within us. Let me just love on you, because some of you just don't rest, and you just think that's for everybody but you. I think it might be because you don't believe this verse. You think it's according to your power. Because if it's your power and you take a day to rest, guess what's not getting done? Anything of you, you're not producing anything. And if your life is built on your production, then rest is the enemy. Rest is laziness. But biblically, rest and laziness have nothing to do with each other, right? They're not the same thing. Rest and laziness. Rest is worship. Rest is, I believe there's a power that is at work, and when I rest, that power doesn't. That I can actually get more done in my rest than I can in my work. Because my rest says, even when I'm not producing, I'm of value, because the one who does the work is still working. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. So that's so much to who we are. So we don't ask our staff, hey, you want a sabbatical? We require a sabbatical. When you're a full-time staff, you've been here 7 years, you must. We started that with me a couple years ago, taking a 13-week sabbatical. So all of our full-time staff will do that when their turn is here. So RAF starts November 25th. You need to know this as a church, whether you're new with us or not. You need to know and be respectful of this so you know how this works. And it's not just RAF. It's RAF and Misty. They're both on sabbatical. So if you work with RAF on RC Local, RC Global, if you work with RAF on discipleship, huddles, men, or if you work with RAF on students, he does so much, right? And you got a question about something, we want you to ask a question. We just don't want you to ask RAF, all right? And you can ask me, which means I'll go ask Takesha and I'll tell you what she said. But we're going to be, we've got a plan to make sure everybody that's, if you work with Misty on communications, production, website stuff, if you got a question, ask it. Just don't ask Misty. So starting a week from tomorrow, we're just going to leave them alone. Now, that doesn't mean you ignore them. They're going to be around. They're allowed to attend worship. They're not, you know, they're just not on duty. They just need 13 weeks. It's so healthy. All right. I was scared to death of it when I walked into mine, because I've never done that in my life. And God's going to do so much in their family. So the way you can help, talk to them. Treat them like a human. Like, talk to them like you talk to anybody else. Just don't ask them to do anything. Or don't say, man, we really miss you. Hope your sabbatical's great, but things are a mess. But it's okay. Don't worry about it, right? Things are going to be fine. People are going to step into those places. So treat them like humans. Applaud them and applaud the culture we're trying to create, where there's a power that's at work in our rest and things get done. And it's going to be great for them. It's going to be great for a church. So we haven't told you that. So if you got questions for Raf, just pound them next week. Because that's his last, his sabbatical starts Monday, a week from tomorrow. And this verse, there's more to it, because it If you understand this, that there is a power, what's the power it's referencing? It's actually referencing the specific power of Jesus that says the same power that raised Jesus from the dead now lives in us. I see some faces, young and old, in this room of people we baptized in 2024. What happens when you commit and put your faith in Jesus? The power of Jesus comes to live on the inside of you. If you believe the power that raised Jesus from the dead is inside of you, that affects how you live. You just don't get eaten up with the same fears and anxiety that our culture is if you understand the power that we have access to. Now, I've dealt with anxiety. We're not exempt or immune from anxiety as Christians, right? I've learned that in a very real and personal way in the last couple years. But we're just not, if we believe this, we're just not going to live and keep going back to worry, right? I've had to have some hard conversations in this 6 weeks campaign of people that love me and love Relentless and love Jesus. And I've just had to say, listen, I'm not going to worry about that. If you want to go have a meeting and make a team and you guys can just call yourself the Worry Ministry and you guys can go talk about all the reasons we need to worry about, go for it. But I just can't be a part of that. Somebody with a great heart, they were worried about, this is before we got our 1.999, can we just say 2 million? Before we got our $2 million number, their worry was, what if it doesn't come in? Like, what if people pray and ask God to do all that they did, and then they put their number, and it's not in our account. That's just the pledge. What if it doesn't come in? It's like, you know, we've got data. We've got a consultant who's done hundreds and hundreds of these. We know the money comes in. I really believe we'll get over 100% of that number because we're going to add new people to it. I just don't think people are asking God, listen to God and do what he says, and then not going to come through with a number. Now, what if somebody loses their job? Then somebody else may get a job. Like, we're going to spend our time on the campaign. Here's why it's personal to me. The doctors have never told me specifically what caused my stroke, but I know worrying helped me have a stroke. It wasn't the reason I had a stroke, but it helped me. That's my story, right? There's some other brothers right here that in the room that have helped, they had their strokes before I had mine, so every stroke is different. But my story is, I'm just not going to live that life. This week, I don't know if you saw in the news, great Hall of Fame coach, San Antonio Spurs, Greg Popovich, they announced that he had a stroke. And the wording they used on the news was, he'd be fine, he had a mild stroke. And I was like, I told my wife, I said, what is that, a mild stroke? Like, is that just a random doctor word? She's like, no, there's a scale. She's like, you know about the stroke scale, right? I didn't know anything about stroke scale. I didn't need to know. Nobody told me. And I said, so what's a mild stroke? She said, on the scale, it's like a 1 to 5. I was like, what was my number? She said, 24. I was in the severe category, right? And we just celebrated 2 years past November 15th, 2022. And you're not clapping for me. You're clapping for the power that is at work within us. I'm here alive and well today because of the prayers of God's people, because of the power of God, because incredible doctors, incredible wife, and all the things. But at the end of all that, it is God's goodness and power is the reason that I'm here. And when you go through something like that in life, and you don't have to go through that kind of severe, scary situation to learn this lesson. Maybe you can learn that on my behalf without the stroke. But when you go through something like that, you just realize what's important, and you just decide, I'm not going to live in fear. Because what's the biggest fear? Like stroke, severe stroke at my age? People say, you know, and here's, let me talk to you. Let me talk real to you. All right, can we talk? Can we talk for a minute? Your name. All right. Too young? You too young there? You got me on that? All right. You can't. You'll be all right. You feel like I'm gonna come at you, and I don't. Some of you just, some people, perhaps in this room, perhaps not. You need to hear this. I just won't live worrying about things I can't control. Right? It takes years off your life. Right? We know that. And here's the thing. Some of you have told me, hey, when you talk about your stroke, it scares me. Why? And they say, well, because you were so young, you were so healthy. And that's so offensive that you would use the word were, right? I am young and I am healthy, but I get what you're saying. But if that scares you, In love, can I just say, I don't care if it scares you because you're going to worry about something anyway, right? You're going to find something to worry about. Some of you have been walking with for a while, and you're really gifted. Like, you're really creative at finding something to worry about. And we're going to love you, but I'm just not going to get pulled into that. Okay, let me say it this way, tongue in cheek. 2,000 years ago, some of you were alive for that, and Jesus crucified the most brutal death you can imagine, and then was raised from the dead, and was like, some of you, if that was the church, and I was the pastor, and Jesus just raised from the dead and showed up in front of us in that worship service, after the service, you would come find me. You say, Pastor, I'm concerned. I'm like, why? She's like, what if they kill him again? I'm like, what? It's like, no, like, they killed him once. They're still out there. They haven't apologized. They're not repentant. Like, what if they kill him again? Oh, no, this is so bad. Like, there's only one thing worse than our Savior dying once. What if they kill him again? We're not having that meeting, right? If you're that creative to find something, he rose. His power is alive. He's at work within us. You got to apply that to your real everyday life. All right, so you know who you are. And some of you are like, oh, I'm worried he's talking to me. You see what you just did? You created a worry. I don't know who I'm talking to. God does. It's a lifestyle. According to his power that is at work within us. So that same power that got us to this point, that has us the extensions on the lease that we're so thankful to have, that now have us a number that we can take and find out what that same power is also able to find us a building, a space, a land. That's the fun part, right? We made the commitments. Now, God, what you going to do? And it's going to be in his timing. I don't know if it'll be next week or next year, but I know we got a deadline. He knows we got a deadline. We're just going to celebrate. We're just going to celebrate without worry. Can you really celebrate with worry? It kind of taints the celebration if it's soaked in worry. And his power work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever, amen. To him be glory, right? We haven't talked about that word a ton in this series. Maybe we should. This Greek word doxa. Say doxa. Doxa, a little crowd participation. It's this glory. It's this idea of weight, of awe, of wow. It's like in our slang, it would be just the wildness of God, that he would cause people that don't believe in him to say, wow. If there's a group of people that look like that, that come from the countries and the places we come from, that they can really be one and together and pool their money in unity for a purpose and a cause, for something that's invisible, like, that makes me wow, not the people, but the God. Right, the story, when we have that day, talking about dreaming, I just can't imagine, talking about Celebration Sunday, our first day in the building we own, whether it's here, there, wherever, whatever, that first day where we're, all this that's leading to a place, the first day we're sitting in that place and worshiping in that place, the story will not be, look what we did. Can't be, right? The story will be, look what he did. Not because he needs our hype, like he doesn't need our hype. Like, he can live up to the hype of the one and only true God. He can handle it. Our whole existence is about bringing glory to the one who deserves it. But our culture begs us to live for self-glory, right? It is around every corner, right? No matter what age or season or walk of life you're in, there is something in you that is drawing you to live a life to get the lights on you. Like, what do the kids call it? Shine. Give me my shine, right? We are miserable when we chase our own shine. You exist to reflect shine back to the one who deserves it. It's his glory. And to the one who's able to do immeasurably more according to his power, to him be glory in the church. It's not just in the world. It's through the church of Jesus Christ that he receives glory. It is a message to Raleigh and Wake County and North Carolina and the world that here's a group of people that didn't grow up the same, that haven't been following Jesus for the same amount of years, but they're united and they're one and they're walking and they're sacrificing and they're giving money. You know how crazy some people you think you are? $2 million to an invisible God, to you have a building, like, everything's fine. You didn't need to do that, but that we are united for a cause, that people need Jesus, and the church is the method at which God reaches people for Jesus. And he's going to use the church, and he's going to use relentless church. And it's going to bring glory to him. When you make decisions this week, All right, let's get off the campaign a second. When you have a chance to either do what your flesh tells you to do or to love somebody hard to love this week, and you allow, you listen to what God and you do what he says, that brings glory to him and Jesus in that conversation, in that decision, in that patience, in that self-control, in that whatever it is. We get to love people this week. When we love people well, if you do and live the life that you're called to live, young people, in your school this week, if you love people the way that God's called you to love, somebody eventually is going to say, why? Why do you stay with me? Why do you stick with me? Why do you love me so well, right? And that's the first step in the opportunity of saying, listen, I'm about something. I'm living for the glory. It's not me. It's God loving you through me. And our whole lives, our mouths, our walks, our wallets are all about bringing glory to the one who actually deserves it. And it says for all generations, we're a generational church. We want to change generations. I don't know if you have any generational traditions as we come up on the holidays, but when I first was dating Kelly, I was made aware when we were driving away one time, I was at her house, we were going on to see a movie or something, and she said, turn the light on in the car. I said, why? She said, we got to wave. I said, to who? She's like, my parents. They always look out the window and wave, and it's been in their family. I'm like, but we're coming back. We're going to see, this isn't like goodbye, see you in a few months. We'll be seeing in a few hours. She's like, turn on the light and wave. Now, all these years later, after 27 years of marriage, it's so natural. Like, I'm never going to leave my mother-in-law's house without hitting that light. And I think one day when my kids come home to visit and they're leaving my house, I think I'm going to stick my hand out the window, and I think my kids will turn on. Now, will it go on? Like, it's really hard to get something to go generation to generation, right? We're going to do something here together that's really powerful, especially when you think about 2,000 years of this tradition lasting and continuing. It's something you're probably familiar with if you've been around, something we call communion. And I'm going to explain it to you, but as I explain it, I'm going to have our team go ahead and begin to pass this out. We just want you to hold it. If you're not comfortable taking communion, you're like, hey, I don't know about all this. This is new to me. You don't have to, right? We're not taking score. But if you're willing, then just hold the bread and the juice. And we're going to all take it together after it's passed out. So can we multitask? Can I talk and then pass at the same time? Can y'all do that? We'll try it. So I'll explain. I'm going to read some scripture on the screen as they, like 5 minutes ago, go. So just take as it comes by and hold. That's your instructions. And if you can, check this verse out. Paul's talking to a church in Corinth. He says, for I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So it's a remembrance. We're going to remember Jesus together. That's all communion is remembering Jesus, what he did. Part of it is the bread slash body. The next part on the next verse is, in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So sometimes if you've been around, sometimes communion can be, it can almost feel somber. It's serious, but it's not somber. It is a celebration. It fits with what we're doing today. We are celebrating that Jesus got off the cross. We're celebrating that God loved us enough to send Jesus to die for our sins. Right? Remember the cross, Chauncey, you're causing all kinds of trouble, aren't you? The night before the cross, when Jesus said, if it's possible, remove this cup from me. That's such a hard text for Jesus asking the Father, if there's another way for the people to be saved than me to become sin, I'd love to know it. And then he doesn't even give God a chance to answer before he says, not my will, but yours, that he surrendered his will to the will of the Father and that he would go through the cross on our behalf. And all he asked is that we would remember his sacrifice, remember it with our lives. And he gave us this because he knew we were humans. He created us. He knew our senses matter. So he gave us this touch, taste, feel, experience that we could celebrate. That's what this is. We're celebrating his victory on the cross. We don't have to fear death. There's nothing in this life that we can fear. Why? Because Jesus raised from the dead. And we proclaim something. It's a celebration of what he did, that he won, so we won. But it's also a looking forward. It's a celebrating what he did, but it says it proclaims the Lord's death until he comes. Right? There's all kinds of talk out there about the end of the world and what's going on in the world and wars and all that. I don't know anything about that. I know there's one significant biblical event that is yet to happen. There's only one significant event in Scripture that is yet to happen. That is the return of Jesus. We are closer today than we've ever been. So when we take communion, we are proclaiming that Jesus did die, he did raise, and he promised he will come back for his people, specifically for his church, right? Glory to God in the church. He'll come back for his church. So we celebrate that when we take communion. Let me just give you a minute, because it talks about examining your own heart. Remember what Jesus did for you. We just take a minute and just be in your own thoughts with God in prayer, and then I'll tell you when we take together. All right, you know how they'll show the video of the game in the locker room and the kind of the post game, the game ball and all that? It's a little bit of what we're doing. We're saying we won, he won because he won, we win, and we'll win again. What he did and proved that he can overcome applies to today, applies to your life, applies to your church, and applies to the future. So we win together. So let's take the bread in remembrance of the body of Jesus that was broken on our behalf. And then let's take the juice that represents the blood of Jesus that washed over us, purified us, that bought us and purchased us, that rescued and adopted us, as we like to say around here. Amen? Amen. All right, so we have communion available each week if it's in the back. So maybe during worship, that's something you want to do. It's important. It should be part of our rhythm as a Christian. We're figuring that out as a church. But we celebrate today what Jesus did. We celebrate that number, of course. And today is First Fruit Sunday, meaning you can give a chunk or a piece or a slice, you choose, of whatever commitment you made. You can give that today. That'll kind of be a head start or a kickstart to the total number. So the money that's coming in early in the campaign will end up being the down payment towards whatever God leads us to. And church, I'm just so excited. I'm not hiding anything. I don't know what he's about to do or when he's about to do it. But I'm so encouraged by what he's done in this campaign, what he's done in our lives in this 6 weeks, and what he's about to do. As soon as we know, we're not going to hide anything. We'll let you know. Hey, be praying. We're going and touring this, whatever. We'll let you know as we know. And it's coming. Just trust him with that. He's been so good up to this point, has he not? So let's apply how good he's been to how good he's going to be, and not live in fear, but live in expectation. Like, you got to come to church every Sunday because you don't know. Is this going to be the week where we find out that we're buying the governor's mansion? We're going to have church in the governor's mansion? That's not a prophecy. I'm talking. How we want to end this service is, we plan a service. Sometimes like, it makes sense. Let's do a song at the end. Right? That's not what this is today. Today is the immeasurably more. This is the only way we could end this campaign. Again, we're ending the message series. This is the end of a chapter, not the end of a book. We're continue to follow the God of immeasurably more. I hope that you never hear Ephesians 3, 20 and 21 the same again after this series. So next week, we're going to celebrate our Honduras team and some other things. And then after next week, it's Christmas series. What? I know. All right. So that's where we're going. And any Sunday in there, we could say, hey, here's what happened this week. We found out this place was available, so we're making an offer and have you pray. As soon as we know, we'll tell you And I don't know anything today, and I'm so excited about that. It's going to be so fun. He's been so good. Really? $2 million? Is that what y'all did? 104 different giving units. And if you are new with us, and you maybe it's your, like, you can get in on that, right? You can, these are not promissory notes, legal binding contracts. If you need, for whatever reason, to decrease your commitment, increase your commitment, or to make a commitment that you've yet to make, you can always do that. We would love to talk to you and help you with that. But we want to end with giving some praise, because he deserves it. He's worthy. He deserves our glory. I hate to tell you this, because I don't want you to know this, but I was at the back of the room. Sometimes I stand at the back. I need to worship before I preach. But I just caught myself watching some of you earlier in this service, and just so wanting for some of you to, like in athletics, you just try to get people loose, like just to let go and just play. I just so want some of you to be able to just to let go and worship. I don't know what your relationship with God is or isn't, but if the worship team wants to come on up, they're going to lead us in praise. So here's the deal. We are ending an incredible work of God and a season in our church today. So as they lead us in this praise, I want you to participate. I want you to give him. Like if he's worthy of the glory we just talked about, immeasurably more, all we ask or imagine, according to his power, let him be glory in the church. He gets glory when we worship, right? Not when you sound good. I'm so thankful that how your voice sounds is irrelevant to worship. He gets glory when you give something. So for today, we don't make rules in this church very often, but for today, when these ladies are clapping, you're required to clap. I don't clap when they're not clapping because I'm always a little bit scared I might be off. But if they're not clapping, you just sing. But if they're clapping, you clap with them. That's required today because we want to end this amazing 6 weeks of our immeasurably more kind of God with giving him what he deserves. You're not living until you're giving glory to God, right? Give it to him with your life, but give it to him with your worship. And I know some of you brought your pillowcases in. That's a joke from last week. So if you gotta go out and get the gold bars out of the trunk or whatever you're giving as your first fruits offering, do that during this song. There are boxes, the offering boxes and the four little boxes in the back that you can go give your first fruits offering to get us going towards this campaign. Remember, you've got to write immeasurably more on the check if you want it to go to the building. You got to write it on the envelope if you're giving cash. Everything else goes to the general fund. Please don't stop giving to the general fund. You guys have been amazing towards all this. Thank you for listening to God and do it in what he says. Would you stand? Father, as we worship, God, I thank you for the lyrics of these songs because they hit all of us. Sometimes we're outnumbered, right? Sometimes we feel it. Sometimes we don't. God, if there's ever a church that should feel the beauty and the grace and the love of God, it's Relentless Church today as we celebrate what you've done and what you're doing and what you're about to do. God, it's so fun to praise you for something that you know every detail of, and we have no idea. We have no idea what you're about to do, but we trust you, we love you, and we admit with our voices right now that you're worthy of our praise. In Jesus' name.